So I want to welcome you to the Engine Room tonight, and we are in a series called Seven Sins That God Hates in the Church. And I want us to look at a passage that we're using as the theological framework for this series. And it's Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Let me read. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, and a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. So the first thing that we've got to establish tonight in this message is that all sin is rooted from pride or self-exaltation. That's the language we've been using. And so Proverbs 6 says something that God hates, a heart that devises wicked schemes. What is the writer of Proverbs saying here? He's talking about the sin of manipulation. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, the sin of manipulation. And so we're going to now move from Proverbs 6 to 2 Samuel chapter 15. And we're going to look in a book here in 2 Samuel to see what the sin of manipulation actually looks like. And we're going to look at Absalom, the son of King David. Absalom was the prince of Israel, one of the princes, one of David's sons. And Absalom, his story not only is a cautionary tale, but it's a sad, heartbreaking tale. Because Absalom's pride turns into a plot to overthrow his own father. And he used charm as a weapon to do it. And that's how manipulation works. It's pride wearing a smile. It whispers spiritual words while quietly steering people away from truth. And this sermon tonight confronts the danger of that kind of heart. A heart that looks religious on the outside but schemes on the inside is not acceptable to God. God hates manipulation. Why? Because it divides his people and disguises pride as righteousness. And so here's the big idea that I want you to get tonight. Wrap your mind, wrap your heart around this. Manipulation is pride pretending to be righteous. Pride pretending to be righteous. And so here's the first point tonight that I want us to lay down. It's this. Manipulators care more about image than integrity. Manipulators care more about image than integrity. 2 Samuel 15, 1 through 2. In the course of time, Absalom provided himself with a chariot and horses and with 50 men to run ahead of him. He would get up early and stand by the side of the road leading to the city gate of Jerusalem. Whenever anyone came with a complaint to be placed before the king for a decision, Absalom would call out to him, "What town are you from?" He would answer, "Your servant is from one of the tribes of Israel." So if you've ever met somebody who can turn on the charm like flipping a light switch, well, then you've met Absalom. It appears that he had something like movie star good looks. He had a polished voice, and he had a talent for telling people exactly what they want to hear. Scripture says there was no man in all Israel so much to be praised for his beauty than Absalom. But beneath that flawless exterior was a heart bent on control and self-interest. So Absalom didn't rent those horses, those chariots for efficiency. They were props. He wanted Israel to see him, to admire him, to say, "Now there's a man that looks like a king." And you know what happened? It actually worked. He stood by the city gate, the ancient equivalent of the courthouse, or maybe the coffee shop rolled into one. A courthouse coffee shop, that'd be interesting, where decisions were made and gossip was traded, and he'd greet a weary traveler, shake his hand, and then say with a practiced warmth, "If only I were the judge of this land, I'd do things differently." And it sounded humble. but it was actually poison. What was he doing? He was building an image, gaining sympathy, manipulating perception. And Absalom was far more concerned with looking right than being right. And in that, he became a living parable of what happens when ambition replaces integrity. Instead of trusting God's timing, he tried to steal what only God could give. God anointed his dad, King David, as king of Israel. Absalom had a falling out with his dad over his brother committing an unspeakable act and killed his brother, and so he was banished from the king's court, which broke David's heart. He had gifts, he had leadership, he had presence, but in that fracture of relationship, in those series of terrible choices, he was completely cut off from the influence of his dad. And that turned into pride. But he had the gifts, didn't he? He had the presence. He had the leadership. You know, charisma without character always collapses. Write that down. Charisma without character always collapses. The day eventually comes when the spotlight burns away the mask and the heart beneath is exposed for everybody to see. Manipulation is pride pretending to be righteous. Now, the spirit of Absalom still walks through church hallways and ministry teams today. It smiles, it flatters, and volunteers, but its goal is not ministry. Its goal is to gain control, not to serve. You'll see it in the person who is more concerned with how things look than how things are. In the leader who craves affirmation more than accountability, we see the sin of manipulation. In the believer who builds a platform but neglects communion with God, a prayer life. So how do we spot the difference between image and integrity? It's not complicated. Integrity does not need an audience. Image cannot survive without one. Integrity stands firm when nobody else is watching. Image adjusts depending on who's in the room. Integrity seeks God's approval. Image thrives on man's applause. So when somebody walks in integrity, there is a peace in their soul and a light in their eyes. They don't have to promote themselves because they trust that God will promote them if he even decides to do so in God's perfect timing and in God's perfect way. But when somebody starts polishing their reputation more than their character, beware. Beware. You can almost hear the horses and see the chariot wheels of Absalom rolling again. God, help us to be people who choose authenticity over appearance, Lord. We need to be people who choose truth over theater and obedience over optics. Because at the end of the day, it's not who looks the most spiritual that matters. It's the person whom God empowers to do his work. What matters are the people who walk with the Lord when nobody else is around. And manipulation is pride pretending to be righteous. Number two, manipulators use flattery to fool the faithful. Write that down. Get that in your heart, in your DNA. Let's look at verse 3. So the weary traveler comes along. Then Absalom would say to him, look, your claims are valid and proper, but there's no representative of the king to hear you. And Absalom would add, if only I were appointed judge in the land, then everyone who has a complaint or case would come to me and I would see that they receive justice. Also, whenever anyone approached Absalom to bow down before him, Absalom would reach out his hand, take hold of him, and kiss him. Absalom behaved in this way towards all the Israelites who came to the king asking for justice. And so he stole the hearts of the people of Israel. If pride is the engine of manipulation, then flattery is the fuel. And Absalom mastered the art of flattery. It's a dark art, though. Standing at the city gate, he smiles, he nods, he tells everybody what they wanted to hear. You're right, you've been overlooked. King's not listening. I know him, he was my dad, he didn't listen to me, but I would listen to you if I only was the judge, if I was only the king. It's a masterclass in political theater, isn't it? He acted the part of compassionate listener, but make no mistake, he was not serving the people of Israel. He was seducing them. Verse 6 tells us exactly what was happening. He stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And that word stole matters because flattery always takes, it never gives. It sounds like kindness, but it's actually purpose designed for conquest. Encouragement speaks truth to build people up, but flattery speaks exaggeration to build ourselves up artificially. So encouragement wants what's best for you. Flattery wants something from you. Remember that. Encouragement wants what's best for you. Flattery wants something from you. So one flows from love, the other drips with deceit and has the heart of self-exaltation. So at its heart, and this may sound harsh, flattery is satanic. The serpent flattered Eve in the garden. You will be like God. The appeal to her pride. Well, it concealed its poison, didn't it? See, flattery rarely, if ever, sounds evil. It sounds insightful, affirming, even spiritual. But it warps truth into bait. Proverbs 26:28 says, a flattering mouth works ruin. Flattering corrodes discernment because it whispers the praise that you and I crave, and it blinds us to the danger behind it. And that's why our emotions have to be tethered strongly to the Word of God. We have to be sober-minded, be very careful that we don't let people stir up our own insecurities, our own emotions to wind up deceiving us. And here's the theological heart of it. Flattery is counterfeit grace. You know, it mimics the tone of encouragement, but it lacks the truth of righteousness. It offers comfort without correction. It gives affirmation without accountability. Real grace tells the truth in love. Flattery tells a lie in the language of love. So when Absalom told the people what they wanted to hear, he was impersonating compassion while engineering rebellion. Impersonating compassion while engineering rebellion. That sounds like Satan, doesn't it? It's exactly what he does. And he uses people with hardened hearts to cause harm to God's kingdom. So Absalom's words sounded like empathy, but they were soaked in evil ambition. The same subtle spirit creeps into churches today, and it hides behind spiritual language. You're the only one who really gets it, you know? If you were in charge, things would be different. No one leads like you, you know? And I'm going to tell you, I've been in ministry for a long, long time. I've been on very large platforms, small platforms, behind the scenes, green rooms, all kinds of places. And I have seen people who are the real deal, and I've seen people who are considered Christian leaders who ultimately leverage the sin of manipulation. And at the beginning, it sounds harmless. It sounds like they got your back, but its purpose ultimately is conquest. Satan steals hearts through sweet words. And so how can we tell the difference between encouragement and flattery? Here we go. Encouragement lifts your soul towards Christ. Flattery lures your ego towards self. Encouragement is anchored in truth. Flattery is anchored in a personal agenda. Encouragement says, I thank God for what he's doing in you. But flattery says, you're the best thing that ever happened to this place. And by the way, if anybody ever tells you that, don't believe it. Don't believe it. No. Encouragement makes you grateful. It makes you humble. Flattery makes you proud. Churches built and spiritual leadership systems built on flattery crumble, because what begins in manipulation almost always ends in destruction. When someone seeks power through giving praise, you can be sure it's going to cost you peace. I promise you. The spirit-filled believer learns to test the words that come out of our mouth and to test the words that come out of other people's mouths. Not by how they sound, but by what they produce, and are they in alignment with the truth of Scripture? Do the words that come out of people's mouths exalt Christ or inflate self? Does it bind hearts together around Jesus, or does it turn them against one another? So the story of Absalom reminds us that the most dangerous voices in the kingdom quite often sound the most sincere. Sincerity is not a gift of the Holy Spirit, because you could appear to be sincere and not be. Guard your heart, because not every kiss is a sign of love. Judas proved that, and so did Absalom. So in God's kingdom, truth is never the enemy of love, and love never needs to flatter to heal. Now, manipulation is pride pretending to be righteous. Number three, last point. Manipulators hide agendas to divide the devoted. Remember, this is seven things that God hates in the church, so we're looking at how the enemy tries to bring down the spiritual health of a church. Let's look here at 2 Samuel 15, beginning verse 7. At the end of 4 years, Absalom was slinging his flattery for 4 years straight. Nobody did anything. Absalom said to the king, his dad, "Let me go to Hebron and fulfill a vow I made to the Lord." Sounds spiritual, right? "While your servant was living at Geshur in Aram, I made this vow. If the Lord takes me back to Jerusalem, I will worship the Lord in Hebron." The king said to him, "Go in peace." So he went to Hebron. Then Absalom sent secret messengers throughout the tribes of Israel to say, "As soon as you hear the sound of trumpets, then say, 'Absalom is king in Hebron.'" 200 men from Jerusalem had accompanied Absalom. They'd been invited as guests and went quite innocently, knowing nothing about the matter. While Absalom was offering sacrifices, he also sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor, to come from Gilo, his hometown. And so the conspiracy gained strength, and Absalom's following kept on increasing. If flattery is manipulation in public, a hidden agenda is manipulation in private. And Absalom had both. After 4 years of charming the people of Israel, he finally makes his move, calculated. But he does not do it honestly. Notice how he cloaks his conspiracy in religion. "Let me go to Hebron to make a vow I made to the Lord." That's not devotion, that's deception wrapped around false piety. Hebron wasn't chosen because it was sacred. It was chosen because it was strategic. It was the very place where David had been anointed king. So Absalom wasn't going to worship. He was going to overthrow the king, his own father. He hid behind the language of spirituality and faith, but his desire was to advance himself at whatever the cost, and he knew the cost that it would come to. And this is what makes manipulation so wicked. It weaponizes sometimes what is holy. The text says he sent secret messengers. That phrase alone tells us what kind of man that Absalom had become. Once the son of King David, now a schemer of treason. He had so much potential, so many gifts, but now all that is corrupted by self-exaltation. I want to say something. Every hidden agenda is born in the same dark room of the heart where truth has been replaced by self-interest. That's why we have to guard our hearts. That's the wellsprings of life. And so what began as a wounded pride in Absalom now has ripened into full rebellion. And unconfessed sin always grows roots. When envy or bitterness goes unchecked, it never stays small. It metastasizes. It metastasizes. Absalom's charm turned into conspiracy, and his pretense of worship turned to war. And Scripture makes clear that God hates hidden motives. God exposes what men hide. In his kingdom, transparency, which is different than sincerity, is a mark of righteousness. Secrecy is a mark of sin. Hidden agendas are evil, not just because they deceive others, but because they mimic Satan's strategy. The devil's work always starts in the shadows. But when Absalom whispered in secret, he was speaking the native tongue of the evil one. And notice how subtly he did it. He invites 200 men, and the scripture says, this is the inspired word of God, they went quite innocently, knowing nothing about the matter. That's how manipulators work. It uses unsuspecting, well-meaning people to legitimize their own evil self-interests. And these men thought they were attending a worship service, but what they're actually attending was a coup. Hidden agendas always divide the devoted in God's kingdom. They drain trust. See, the same pattern plays out in churches and in ministries when motivations go unchecked. A hidden agenda does not announce itself out publicly. No, no, no. It whispers. It says things like, we just need to have our own group. You know, the leadership just doesn't get it. Hey, let's talk about this privately. The words may sound harmless, even helpful, but the spirit behind them is a spirit of destruction. So how do we tell the difference? How do we spot it? Well, you watch for what happens in the shadows. People with pure hearts move in the light. People with hidden motives thrive in secrecy. A person who cannot speak directly but constantly speaks about others is almost always guarding their own agenda. A person who goes around gathering sympathy rather than seeking reconciliation is most often not about peace. Now, they're about power and self-interest. Theologically, unity in the church is not born of sentiment. It is sacred. It is holy. Jesus prayed for it in John 17, calling the unity of the church as evidence of the presence of his Holy Spirit in the world. That's how we tell the world that Jesus is real, by our unity. And that means that when somebody stirs up division, they are working against the very prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the antidote to hidden agendas is honest humility. See, transparency is the enemy of deception. When our hearts are open before the Lord, when our hearts are open before each other, there's no soil for manipulation to grow. Because the Spirit of Jesus produces visible fruit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, hidden motives, they just can't survive that kind of light. Absalom's story, it really is tragic because it began with a young man who had so much, but he exchanged all that for charm, flattery, and in the end, it ended with carnage, with death, with heartache. But it stands as a warning. God's people, you and I, we must not confuse charisma with character, and we must never trade secrecy for true spirituality, because spirituality lives in the light. And so when somebody hides an agenda, division is always the outcome. But when we walk in the light of God as he is in the light, you know what happens? We live with honesty before the Lord, and we live and demonstrate humility before other people. So our lives become open and sincere with nothing to hide, and that kind of integrity shows the world what genuine fellowship with God looks like. Let this lesson from Absalom be a true warning, a true alarm for us today, that we would never allow manipulation to be a part of what we do here, because manipulation is pride pretending to be righteous.